Welcome to another deep dive, this time into the world of magic.
Magic.
Well, not just like the stage illusions, you know,
Right.
although we'll touch on those too. We're going to be looking at some excerpts from a book called Magic in the Mirror by a magician named E.J. Gold.
Okay.
And we're hoping to uncover what magic can teach us about personal growth, acts of service, and maybe even a little touch of the paranormal.
Sounds intriguing. What I find fascinating about Gold is that he views magic as more than just entertainment.
Right.
He considers it a practice.
Yeah.
A way to develop skills that have a ripple effect throughout your life.
That's right. And he even has this concept called magic for life, which
Yeah.
is using magic to bring joy to those in need, like
Right.
people in hospitals or hospices. But he also talks about how the very act of performing magic,
Yeah.
even simple tricks, can be transformative for the magician themselves.
Absolutely. It's about pushing your boundaries and realizing you're capable of more than you thought.
So how does that work? How does performing magic transform the performer?
Well, he describes performing magic as entering a heightened state of awareness. It demands intense focus, self-observation, and a real connection to the present moment. Think about the concentration it takes to pull off a seamless illusion. These aren't just performance skills. They're valuable in any area of life.
So it's like magic is secretly training your mind in ways you don't even realize.
Precisely.
And he talks about this click moment when a trick works perfectly. He gives the example of contact juggling,
Oh, yeah.
where the ball suddenly feels different, almost like it's defying gravity.
It's a fascinating phenomenon.
Yeah, what's happening in that moment?
Gold calls that proof of concept.
Proof of concept.
It's a shift in attention so profound that you can actually feel your experience of reality change. Think of it this way. If you can train your attention to make a ball move in seemingly impossible ways, imagine what that level of focus could do for you in other areas.
Oh, I see.
Overcoming procrastination, sticking to a challenging goal. The possibilities are endless.
Okay, so proof of concept is like showing us that focused attention can actually shape our reality.
Precisely. And if magic can help us hone that focus, it becomes a tool not just for entertainment, but for personal empowerment.
That makes a lot of sense. So how does this idea of directed attention connect to the magic for life concept we talked about earlier?
Well, Gold talks about misdirection, the magician's art of redirecting the audience's attention away from the dirty work, so to speak. He believes we can apply this principle to our own challenges.
Okay.
Imagine a mime creating an invisible wall. Their focused attention makes the unreal feel real. Gold suggests that we might be creating invisible walls in our own lives just by where we focus our attention.
Wow, so we might be inadvertently limiting ourselves just by where we place our focus.
That's the question Gold poses. Where is our focus creating limitations that might not actually be there?
Yeah.
If we can learn to control our attention like a magician,
right,
we can break down those walls.
Now, you mentioned magic for life earlier as a form of service. And Gold shares some pretty moving stories about using magic to bring joy to people in need.
He does. There's a beautiful story he tells about performing for a young leukemia patient. The boy's spirits were lifted not just by the magic itself,
yeah,
but also by a surprise visit from baseball player Jimmy Pearsall. It showed Gold the immense power of magic to bring hope and escape to people facing difficult situations.
Yeah. It sounds like these acts of magic for life aren't just about the tricks themselves, but about creating genuine human connection and reminding people of the wonder and joy that still exists in the world, even in the midst of suffering.
Exactly. And it's not just about grand gestures. Gold believes even small acts of magic can have a ripple effect, reminding us that we all have the power to make a positive difference in the lives of others.
So magic for life is about taking the skills and mindset we gain from magic, you know, the focus, the intention, the creation of wonder, and directing it outward to serve others.
That's a great way to put it. It's about taking the principles of magic off the stage and integrating them into our lives, using them to make the world a little brighter, a little more magical.
Now, we've talked about magic as a practice for personal growth and a way to serve others. But Gold also delves into the potential for magic to connect us with the paranormal. And this is where things start to get really interesting.
This is where it gets really interesting.
He doesn't just theorize about this connection either. He actually creates magical tools designed to explore the paranormal.
Yeah.
Wait, what kind of tools are we talking about here?
Well, for instance, he's created something called the Magic Man Ouija board.
A Magic Man Ouija board.
Which uses a spider to answer questions.
Okay, now that sounds a little...
Sounds bizarre, right?
Yeah, a little out there. I mean, he is a magician after all. Isn't he supposed to make the impossible seem real? How do we know this isn't just another illusion?
That's a valid point. And it's important to approach these claims with a critical eye. But Gold also argues that the line between illusion and reality might be blurrier than we think.
Okay.
He believes theatrical magic, when performed with intention, can create an atmosphere where genuine paranormal experiences become more likely.
So he's not saying that he can just conjure spirits on demand.
Right.
But that magic can create the conditions for those kinds of encounters to occur.
That's how he sees it. He describes the magician entering a heightened state of awareness during a performance, which then resonates with the audience, opening them up to possibilities beyond the ordinary.
So it's like the magician is a conduit channeling energy that can shift the reality of the performance space.
That's one way to look at it. And he claims this heightened state, this waking state, as he calls it, isn't just accessible to magicians.
Okay.
He believes we can all tap into it through practice and intention.
This waking state sounds fascinating, but I'm still not entirely sure what it is. Can you elaborate a bit? What does it actually feel like to experience this heightened consciousness?
It's difficult to put into words, but Gold describes it as a state of intense presence, a heightened awareness of the present moment. He believes we experience glimpses of it in everyday life, moments of awe, inspiration, or deep connection.
Okay.
But he also suggests that we can cultivate this state through specific practices.
Like what?
Like meditation, certain types of movement, and yes, even magic.
So it's not just something that happens to us randomly. It's something we can actively cultivate.
Precisely. And Gold believes it's in this state, this heightened awareness, that we're most receptive to experiences that defy our normal understanding of reality, including the paranormal.
Okay, that's starting to paint a clearer picture.
Yeah.
So we've got this connection between magic, the waking state, and the potential for paranormal experiences. Where do we go from here?
Well, Gold doesn't just leave us hanging with these abstract concepts. He offers some specific techniques and practices designed to help us explore these ideas for ourselves.
Give us an example.
For instance, he claims there's a technique called the Chenrig levitation that can actually allow a person to levitate.
Wait, hold on. Levitate? Like actually float off the ground?
It certainly sounds far-fetched, right?
Yeah.
But Gold insists it's possible.
Okay.
He describes it as a combination of physical movements, mental formulas, and specific breathing techniques that can, when performed with absolute precision, lead to levitation.
Okay. I'll be honest, even for someone who's open to exploring the unconventional, levitation seems like a pretty tall order.
It does, doesn't it?
Has he ever claimed to have done this himself?
He doesn't go into detail about his personal experiences with it, but he's adamant that it's a real phenomenon, not just a stage illusion. He even suggests using beta blockers to enhance the experience.
Beta blockers? How do those tie into levitation?
He doesn't go into specifics, but it seems like he believes they can help with the focus and control needed to achieve this state.
Okay, well, my skepticism is officially piqued. But even if we can't literally levitate, what's the takeaway here? What's the point of even attempting something like that?
I think Gold sees it as a metaphor for pushing beyond our perceived limitations. Whether or not someone actually achieves levitation, the process of attempting it, the discipline, the focus, the pushing against those boundaries can be transformative in itself.
I see.
It's about embracing the impossible and seeing what happens when we dare to reach for it.
So it's more about the journey than the destination.
Exactly. It's about challenging our assumptions about what's possible and expanding our understanding of our own potential.
This is all incredibly fascinating, but I have to admit, I'm still a little unsure how to connect all these dots. What does it all mean? How can we take these ideas about magic, misdirection, focused attention, the waking state, and even levitation and apply them to our own lives?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? And I think Gold would be the first to say that there's no one-size-fits-all answer. It's a journey of exploration and discovery, and each person's path will be unique.
So where do we even begin?
Well, Gold provides some specific advice for those just starting out on their magical journey. He suggests starting with simple sleight-of-hand techniques like the French drop.
And I think he goes into quite a bit of detail in the book about how to master those techniques.
He does. He provides step-by-step instructions, emphasizing the importance of practice and mastering the subtle movements. He even talks about using a change bag to create seemingly impossible effects.
Yeah, and I think what's important to remember here is that it's not really about the tricks themselves,
right,
but what they represent, the dedication, the focus, the willingness to push beyond our comfort zones.
Absolutely.
These are the qualities that Gold believes can unlock our hidden potential, whether we're performing on stage or navigating the challenges of everyday life.
Exactly. He's not just teaching tricks. He's teaching a mindset, a way of approaching life with a sense of wonder and possibility.
And for those listening who are interested in learning more about these techniques and getting started with their own magical journey, Gold encourages you to explore the resources on his website, magicman.com. He even has tutorials and simple tricks that you can start with right away.
He does. He's very generous with his knowledge.
He really wants to make magic accessible to everyone.
He does. He believes everyone has the potential for magic, the capacity to create moments of wonder and joy. It's just a matter of unlocking that potential within ourselves.
This is all so fascinating. We're going to have to take a break here, but be sure to join us for the next part of this deep dive as we continue to explore the world of EJ Gold and magic in the mirror.
I'm looking forward to it. We've been talking about magic as a tool for personal growth and service and how it can even connect us with the paranormal. But now Gold introduces another element that ties into these ideas. Ventriloquism.
Okay, at first glance, you know, throwing your voice just seems like another performance trick.
Right.
How does that fit into this bigger picture of personal transformation?
Well, Gold argues it's about more than just making a doll talk.
Right.
It's about imbuing that doll with personality, letting it surprise you, the performer, as much as the audience.
So there's this element of letting go of control, of allowing something unexpected to emerge through the doll.
Exactly. It's a practice in surrendering to the moment, which can be quite liberating.
Yeah. And he actually talks about the vent doll almost starting to feel real, like it has its own thoughts and impulses.
It does. That's where it gets really interesting. It's a testament to the power of belief and focused attention, both from the performer and the audience.
Yeah.
The magician is directing everyone's perception to create the illusion of life in the doll.
This seems to tie back to what we were discussing earlier about misdirection and the invisible walls we create with our attention.
Right.
Ventriloquism almost takes that concept a step further. Like, it's almost making the impossible become real in a way.
It does.
And he talks about, you know, giving specific advice for aspiring ventriloquists, like practicing the alphabet with the doll, to master the mouth movements, using a joke book to come up with material and develop a routine.
Right.
But ultimately, he says the real key is mastering that subtle art of directing the audience's perception.
That's right.
It's really fascinating to me that he includes this very practical advice alongside these much deeper, more philosophical concepts.
Yeah.
It shows that he's not just a theorist.
Yeah.
He's a practitioner who really wants to empower others to explore these ideas for themselves.
Absolutely.
And he talks about even, you know, developing a backstory for your vent doll, like creating a whole persona that brings a unique energy to the performance.
Right.
It's like another layer of creativity and intentionality.
It is.
So ventriloquism then is more than just a technical skill. It's about pushing creative boundaries, playing with the nature of reality, and maybe even tapping into something beyond ourselves.
Exactly. And it ties back into Gold's broader concept of the waking state.
Right.
This state of heightened awareness, he believes we can all access through practice and intention.
And we talked about the waking state in relation to magic and the paranormal earlier.
Right.
How
right.
does ventriloquism fit into that framework?
Well, Gold suggests that the act of creating this illusion of life in the doll can actually induce a shift in consciousness, both for the performer and the audience.
Okay.
It's like they're both entering this shared state of heightened awareness.
Yeah.
Where the impossible becomes possible.
So it's not just about the technical skill of throwing your voice. It's about the energy and the intention that you bring to the performance.
That's right. And that energy, that intention can ripple out and impact the audience in ways that go beyond mere entertainment.
Mm.
It can create a space for genuine connection, for wonder, and even transformation.
It sounds like he's suggesting that ventriloquism, like other forms of magic, can be a catalyst for personal growth and expanded awareness for both the performer and the audience.
That's precisely what he's getting at. Mm-hmm. He even compares ventriloquism to meditation.
Wow.
Saying that it can help us quiet the monkey mind and connect with a deeper sense of presence.
It's fascinating to me how he keeps weaving together these seemingly disparate threads, magic, personal growth, service, the paranormal, and now ventriloquism. It's like he's creating this whole new language for understanding human potential.
He is. He's yeah. really pushing the boundaries of what we typically think of as magic.
And he's inviting us to join him in this exploration.
Right.
To experiment with these ideas and see what resonates for us.
Absolutely.
This is all very exciting. But before we get too carried away with levitating dolls and paranormal encounters, I want to bring us back to something that Gold mentioned earlier, his play script called Norton Street.
Oh, yes. Norton Street.
He presents it as a powerful tool for accessing this waking state that we've been talking about.
He does. He describes Norton Street as a refined version of a practice called Triad, which was designed to induce these transformative experiences.
Okay.
And it seems to involve pushing people beyond their comfort zones
mm-hmm.
and challenging their perceptions of reality.
And he specifically recommends performing Norton Street with a group,
yes.
saying that it can evoke even stronger reactions and create a more potent shared experience.
Right.
What do you think is behind that emphasis on the group participation aspect of it?
I think it goes back to the idea of resonance and shared energy. When people come together with a shared intention, their individual energies kind of amplify each other, creating a more powerful collective field.
Mm-hmm.
And in that heightened state of collective energy, they're able to access these deeper levels of awareness and experience.
So it's like the group becomes a conduit for something larger than themselves.
Right.
Almost like a collective consciousness that can access these heightened states of awareness.
That's a great way to put it. And Gold suggests that this heightened awareness, this waking state, can open us up to all sorts of possibilities,
right.
from increased creativity and intuition to even glimpses of the paranormal.
So Norton Street is more than just a play, then. It's like a ritual, a practice for mm-hmm. unlocking hidden potential and expanding our understanding of reality.
Exactly. It's about using theatrical performance as a tool for personal and collective transformation.
Okay, so we've got magic, we've got ventriloquism, and now this play script,
right.
all presented as pathways to this waking state.
It's a lot to take in.
Yeah, it's a lot to take in. I'm curious, does Gold offer any guidance on how to actually integrate these ideas into our lives? Where do we even begin to apply all of this?
Well, as we discussed earlier, he provides specific advice on mastering certain magic tricks.
Right. Okay.
And even suggests starting with simple practices like the French drop. But beyond that, I think he's encouraging us to approach life with a sense of playfulness,
mm-hmm.
curiosity, and a willingness to step outside of our comfort zones.
So it's about embracing that spirit of magic in everything we do, looking for those moments of wonder and possibility in the everyday.
Exactly. And it's about remembering that we all have the potential for magic within us.
Right.
It's just a matter of tapping into it and letting it flow.
This has been such a fascinating exploration of Gold's ideas. We've covered so much ground, from the practical techniques of magic to the deeper philosophical implications of the waking state.
We have. It's been a really rich conversation.
And we've seen how all of these seemingly disparate elements, the magic, the service, the ventriloquism, even the paranormal, are all interconnected.
Right.
All pointing towards a deeper understanding of human potential and the power of the human mind.
Absolutely.
We'll be back in a moment with our final thoughts on E.J. Gold and Magic in the Mirror.
Yeah.
And we're back, wrapping up our deep dive into E.J. Gold's Magic in the Mirror.
It's been quite a journey.
It has. We've talked about magic as a tool for personal growth, the idea of magic for life, the potential for paranormal connections,
mm-hmm.
even that surprisingly profound world of ventriloquism.
It's amazing how Gold connects all these different elements.
I know. Wow.
Weaving them into this tapestry of unconventional wisdom. He's not just teaching us tricks.
Right.
He's offering a whole new way of seeing the world and our place within it.
He's definitely challenged some of my assumptions about what's possible.
Yeah.
Both in terms of what we can achieve as individuals.
Right.
And those hidden forces that might be at play in the universe.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
One of the things that really struck me was his emphasis on the waking state.
Right.
That heightened awareness he believes we can cultivate through practices like magic, meditation.
Yeah.
Even certain types of movement.
It's not just about performing illusions on stage.
Exactly.
It's about bringing that same level of focus, intention, and wonder to all aspects of our lives.
He seems to suggest that we can all become magicians, in a sense.
Oh, interesting.
Shaping our reality and creating moments of joy and connection through these conscious acts of attention and intention.
I love that idea that we have more agency than we realize, that we're not just passive observers, but active participants in creating our own experience.
Exactly. And he reminds us that this power isn't just for personal gain.
Right.
No. It's about using our skills and talents to make a positive impact on the world, to bring light and laughter to those who need it most.
That's the essence of magic for life, isn't it?
It is.
It's not just about performing the tricks. It's about channeling that spirit of magic, the wonder, the joy, the connection, and sharing it with others.
He encourages us to look for those opportunities for magical connection in everyday life.
Yeah.
Whether it's offering a kind word to a stranger or creating a moment of shared laughter with a friend.
Yeah, I'm thinking back to that story he shared about performing for that young leukemia patient.
Yeah, a powerful story.
It wasn't just the magic itself that made a difference. It was that human connection, that genuine care and compassion that really shone through.
Exactly. And it reminds us that we all have the power to make a difference, to create those moments of magic for others, no matter how small they may seem.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, I'm left with this sense of possibility, this renewed belief in the power of the human spirit to create beauty, connection, and meaning in the world.
And perhaps a question to ponder as we go forward, what act of magic will you bring into the world today?
That's a beautiful thought to leave us with. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the magical world of E.J. Gold. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep the magic alive.